trains on Wednesdays.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
A good day, Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are tuned to the Refresh Radio program. Guess where we're located? We are at 91.5 FM WMIE. If you're listening at 10:30, it's WWBC 1510 AM. If you're listening at 5 o'clock, it's WMIE 91.5 FM. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day that my dishwasher is being repaired. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. We're excited about that. It was a dishwasher. I mean, we went a long time without a dishwasher, and I decided to invest in one back in, well, it was delivered on December the 1st, and the first load was done December the 1st. And after that happened, then something went south on it, and so thank God for a warranty on that. Amen. And so we pray that you are having a great day. You probably know more about me than you really care to know about me, but God is good, and we're excited about getting our dishwasher back, especially my daughters and wife who spend more time washing dishes than I do. Today we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How many of you would like people to be more gentle with you in your life? How many would like for God to develop in you a strength, a supernatural strength that is not out of control, but it is under control? There's a commercial on television about a golfer that's on the golf course, and all of a sudden there's a dog driving a car down an incline, and he says four, and it's not that the car is going down a hill. That's not what's abnormal. It's not that there's someone behind the wheel. It's the fact that there's a dog behind the wheel, that the car is not under control, and so everybody get out of the way because there's a collision coming. And so we need to make sure that the strength of Almighty God is operating in our control. If you believe that you are weak, if you are feeble, that you are not able to do anything for God, you have been sold a bill of goods out of the pit of hell. Instead, I want you to realize that the Jesus that you accepted in you is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, there is tremendous strength inside of you. There is tremendous heavenly wisdom inside of you. There is tremendous control. You are no longer the devil's victim. Now you are serving as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so on yesterday's program, we were discussing how do you teach someone. Today, I want to take you, and it's a little bit of a different concept, and it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Today, I want to describe to you, how do you plead with someone? And it says this, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who am present, am lowly among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. So here, this is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he began to address things that were out of order, sins that were permeating the church there in Corinth, and because of his pastoral heart, he addressed those situations. You know, there's a modern parenting philosophy that says, because I love my child so much, I don't correct them, I don't restrain them, I don't put boundaries upon them. And I want you to understand that that is not a proper application of parental love. That's not the way that we are supposed to operate. We are supposed to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. And so if you do not put boundaries, if you do not personally get involved, sooner or later, there's going to be an authority in that person's life that will. And if it never happens, you are not going to have a role model of a son or a daughter. You are going to have a person who is to be pitied and who is to be reached with the love of Jesus Christ, because they are going to be miserable beyond description. That we need structure. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and I just want to remind you that the scripture says God loves those he disciplines, and he disciplines with love. Okay? He's not a brutal taskmaster. There are some people who discipline and there is no love whatsoever. It is just, you know, I'm bigger than you are, I've got more power than you are, and you know, I need to vent, and so you're here and you are going to be the recipient of the venting of my wrath. That's not the way that God disciplines. And if you were ever disciplined in that situation, I apologize, but please do not project that image over to a loving heavenly Father. So Paul says, I myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Okay, so we see this characteristic that is not just a fruit of the Spirit, it is demonstrated in the life of our Savior. It's how God pleads with sinners. Now, if there's anybody who could usurp an authoritative manner and says, look, it is my way or the highway, it is God. But he is not looking for robotic obedience. He is looking for spiritual obedience because we want to. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly pleading with sinners to address the sin nature in their life. My wife last week was ministering to our women. And you know, the flu season has been rather pandemic across America. From what I understand, there's been more hospitalizations than normal. There've been more deaths than normal. And When people get sick, they are told to take whatever measures are necessary to not only get themselves well, but also take the necessary steps to make sure that others are not being infected by their sin. And what my wife's message to the ladies a week ago was, why do we not have that same intensity when dealing with our sin issue? That said, I've got to address this as soon as possible. When one of the members of our household first came down with it, you know, that as a result of some interactions at work, you know, with people who weren't feeling well, that what happened was my wife started going into immune system reinforcement. I mean, there was all sorts of things taking place because she said, I can't be down for weeks the way that some people are. And so she began to address that issue. And later, like right after I got back from Tulsa, she manifested some of the signs, didn't make it to church. And I said, you know what, we're going to get you, to the walk-in clinic. And, they got her fixed up. She stayed home a couple of days and then she was able to go back. Fortunately, she, in spite of her giving nature, did not share that with anybody else in the household. Can I get a praise the Lord and a hallelujah? But she said, we go to these massive extremes. We see the danger of the flu that is going around this year, and we address that. We need to have that same intensity and that same focus when dealing with our sins. And so I'm never going to be able to embarrass someone into repentance. I'm never going to be able to manipulate somebody into repentance, but I can share with them in a manner in which Paul said represents the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, and say, look, this is a very serious issue, and we need to address the situation. Do I have your permission to deal with this issue? I had to go in for a diagnostic test at the hospital. And, you know, it reminds me every time a different medical person would walk in the room, they would say, who are you? When were you born? And what are you here for? So the person at the registration desk asked me, the nurse that checked me in, every nurse that came in, the anesthetist that came in, or anesthesiologist, the nurse that was going to wheel my cart in there, the person in the procedure room, they were asking me, who are you? When were you born? What are you here for? Because we want to make sure that you are giving us permission to deal with this situation in your life. How do you respond to a person who does not respond to your invitation to accept Jesus right away? And let me tell you, when you've tasted the goodness of God and seen the goodness of God, you really do want as many people as possible to come to faith in Him, because you know that it is going to be in their best interest, their marriage's best interest, their kids' best interest, their grandchildren's best interest, the church's best interest, the neighborhood's best interest. Listen, Christianity should pervasively touch everybody in your sphere of influence. But how do you respond when that person doesn't say yes as quickly as you would like them to say yes? You remember the meekness and the gentleness that Christ showed to you, because more than likely, the odds are that you did not respond the very first time that the Holy Spirit was inviting you to deal with your sin either. So have patience. Paul says, look, You talk about me, that I'm different in person than I am when I'm writing to you, that when I am absent, I'm bold towards you, but when I am present, I am lowly with you. And he says, but I'm begging with you. There's that pleading concept once again. Don't make me be in person the same way that I am writing to you. I am not a different person. I am imploring you to deal with this issue so that when we come together, we are not in conflict resolution mode. We're not in church discipline mode. We are in the body of Christ, enhancing one another with the gift of grace that God has manifest into our life. He said, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think as of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, here's what I have discovered, and that is this. People who walk in the flesh assume that everybody else is walking in the flesh. Unfortunately, the reciprocal is not all the default position. If you're walking in the Spirit, you realize that not everybody else is walking in the Spirit, because you realize that you live in a fallen world. If we didn't live in a fallen world, then there would not be a need for us to be here at this point in time. But the fact that we are here gives evidence to the fact that there are still many people to be reached. There are still many in the body of Christ who need someone to show them the benefits of spiritual maturity. Paul said, you have many teachers, but you don't have many spiritual fathers. And, you know, I think that we need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers in our churches who can say, thank God you're alive. Now let's help you to grow up. One of my favorite book titles of all time was written by a guy by the name of David Ravenhill. He's the son of Leonard Ravenhill, a great revivalist. And the title of his book was this, For God's Sake, Grow Up. For God's Sake, Grow Up. And that's the real thing. The reason that we mature is it is for God's sake. It is for the glory of God. It is so that others can see that there's hope for them as well. I was having a conversation with a person last week, and we were talking about the humble beginnings of Merit Assembly of God when we came there 25 years ago. And, you know, they were dumbfounded at how small it was. The first Sunday we had 6, second Sunday we had 5, third Sunday we had 4, and then there were 4 people from my family on each of those 3 Sundays. And they said, wow, that's really small. And I said, yes, but what I have come to realize is that when things were that small, there really weren't that many witnesses to the mistakes that I made along the way. I hope that you realize that when you are pleading with someone, you are not pleading from the position of moral superiority. You are ministering to them. You are pleading with them as a person who has been delivered from the strongholds that currently occupy their life. You know who the person who is going to be the most motivated to minister to drug addicts are? The drug addict who's been delivered and set free by Jesus Christ, because they know the trap and they know what it's like to be set free. The same is true of alcohol. The same is true of cigarettes. The same is true of sexual immorality or human trafficking. There are, if you've been set free, you know the dangers of the trap, and you just don't want to have that mindset that says, whew, I have been set free. You know, several weeks ago, there was a horrible situation. I believe it was out in California, where a child who had been entrapped and in bondage by their parents managed to escape, and one of the first things that they did was find a person that they could talk to and say, look, I've got other relatives of mine that are in the same trap that I was in. You need to get them out. How much more should we realize that that is the heart of God, that he wants people to be set free? There was a video I watched one time, and I shared this at church a week or so ago, about a dog who had never, ever experienced life outside of a crate. It was a part of a puppy mill. It was raised in this cage. It was in this cage, and some people came along and got all these dogs out of this situation. The dog had never set foot on grass. And they took the dog to a park and they opened the cage, but because the dog had never been out of the cage, he didn't realize that just because the door was open, he could walk out. And they finally enticed the dog to set its foot on the grass, and it was such a foreign concept that the dog was terrified of the freedom that had just been provided in their life. Until they managed to demonstrate to that little dog, this is the life you were meant to live all along. Isn't that what Christians are doing? We are pleading with people who've been abused by the devil in a fallen world, and they've never experienced the freedom and the purpose that God created for them to exist in the first place. And we say, look, there is life beyond the cage. Look at what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. All of a sudden, Paul is pleading with them and saying, look, we're not going to fight battles the same way that the world fights battles. We're not going to do it with emotions. We're not going to do it with manipulation. We're not going to do it with propaganda. What we are going to do is we are going to fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons, and we are going to pull down strongholds. We are going to cast down arguments. Okay? We are going to bring down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What Paul is saying is, I'm pleading with you that when I come, that, you know, we are able to deal with the biggest and the most intense problems in a head-on fashion. Okay? And bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay? So, how many strongholds are you content with in your life? How many lies from the enemy are you content believing? Because Paul says, I want to bring them all down. I want to bring them all down. And so he pleads with the church. I think that it is time for the American church to walk in the freedom for which Christ has set us free, to walk in the truth of God instead of the lies of the enemy, to exalt God, his name and his word. The scripture says he has exalted his name and his word above all else, to exalt God and his word above every other thought. It is a personal reflection as to how you are inclined in your belief. Every person has a bias. I have a bias. I have an inclination, and it is towards believing the word of God. Paul says the authority that God empowers people with is for the building them up, not tearing them down. Okay? So you and I, he says, I plead with you, don't look at the outward appearance. That was an Old Testament lesson that Israel should have got when Samuel came to anoint Saul's replacement, and you know, he was impressed with the outward appearance, and God said, yeah, that doesn't impress me. What I'm looking for is I'm looking for the heart. You know, even to this day, God's not looking for the biggest. He is not looking for the most sculpted. What he is looking for is the person who has a heart that is given wholly and irrevocably over to the Lord for God to do with as he sees fit. And so I encourage you today, I plead with you, don't accept the devil's normal when God has a normal for you that is so much better. So much better. What the problem was someone had come in and convinced the Corinthian church that Paul was hostile towards them, when really it was the enemy that was coming in that was trying to get them to believe in a tolerance of a substandard existence. And Paul is saying, look, I'm coming in like a spiritual father, and I am pleading with you. I can't compel you. I can't make you. I am asking you to make this choice in your life to choose God's best for your life. This radio broadcast today is about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ operating in me to convince you to choose to tear down the strongholds of the enemy in your life so that God can build you up into the trophy of his grace, into the jewel and the apple of his eye that he wants you to be. Listen, God believes in you. You want to hear something else? The devil believes in God's potential in you. And that's why he is fighting so hard to get the church to compromise in the word, to compromise in our behavior. And today I just want to plead with you in the spirit of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's get back to what God's standard for us is, what God created us for us to be. I know that God is going to do great things in your life and my life. Father, right now, I plead with those who are listening today for all of us to choose your best for us in this day and this time, and God, that you will do great and mighty things. I want to thank you today for thoughts that are being taken into captivity, for strongholds that are being brought down, and the word of God and the God of his word being exalted to the highest place. And Lord, I want to thank you for the great defeat the enemy is experiencing this very moment, in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.